He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Brother, hello, Corey.
And welcome, everyone, to this, our 60th, 6-0, big 6-0 edition.
Wow, man. Cool.
Can you believe that?
We made it this far.
We survived the test.
I remember the first day we did it.
And what did we talk about? Do you remember?
We were at the Pan Pacific, and Dr. Michael Colgan was our first interview.
Yeah. And
remember that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we used to do them on cassette tapes. Remember that?
Well, everything starts out
as
a concept in your mind, and then it materializes into the current technology, and the technology is just moving rapidly.
It certainly is.
You know, now we're talking about sending out our products by a link. No more CDs. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, we've got SNU now as part of our CHI membership, so you just, stream the audio into your MP3 player or download it into your computer, burn it as a disc. It's excellent. I love the technology.
Yes, it's great for shipping and handling, and it's really easy for us now because we don't get breakage and the costs go down, so it's awesome.
Well, and then we can start sending education programs via email. They just upload the information via a link, and that eliminates the cost of shipping and the risk of it being lost and all the rest of it. I think the technology today in email and internet is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly is good for our business.
It certainly is.
Well, my dear, what's cooking?
What's cooking? Garlic is king and onions are queen. Did you know that garlic and onion are cousins?
I know that they're related.
You did you?
Well, when you eat
one
or
the
other,
everything.
They have a similar kind of effect.
I know. As the proverb is very common that an apple a day keeps the doctor away, here's another one. In the same manner, a single bulb of garlic a day keeps diseases away.
Yeah, but who eats a whole bulb of garlic?
We do.
Yes, I know, but most people don't even get a clove. When we talk about eating a bulb of garlic, people don't really get what we're talking about.
Yeah.
They think a little clove. No, we're talking about the whole bulb, and we eat one each.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So there you go. Garlic contains about 8 essential amino acids and over 18 different sulfur components. It's an excellent source of geranium and selenium, both of which are powerful antioxidants.
Which protect cells, tissues, organs, delicate sensory organs, you know, that are associated with vision, taste, and smell.
You know, there are some people that don't like garlic, and I just can't even imagine my life without garlic. There's nothing.
Oh, well, I know some religious people that don't touch it because they say it gets them going, gets them stimulated, sexually activated.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah. So maybe that's the problem that I've got every night when I have a bulb of garlic and you're sound asleep.
Oh.
I need somehow, I can't control
Why
myself.
Why does it always get to this? Okay, let's just, the pungency of garlic comes from allicin. This is just one of the many active components that make garlic so valuable to the body. And in addition to having antibiotic properties, garlic is also a febrifuge, which reduces and prevents fever. It's a firmifuge, which expels parasites. It's a sudorific, which promotes sweating, and a diuretic, which boosts the excretion of fluids. And researchers believe that garlic can bolster the immune system, lower blood pressure, and prevent heart disease. And at least some people believe that garlic can ward off insects, not to mention vampires.
Those blood-sucking vampires. So why doesn't it work on you?
Oh.
You know why? Because in actual fact, I've seen some of those vampire movies, and you know they're wearing this necklace of garlic, and the vampire comes in and just kind of like laughs at them. You moron, and then eats them because it doesn't really have that effect. I guess it's got to get inside of them.
Yeah.
But I guess it depends on which vampire movie and which folklore story
you're watching.
Yeah. The vampires I like, man, they're indestructible.
And you know, if you got that garlic breath thing going on, parsley really helps with the garlic breath. And I remember one time I had dinner all cooked and the dressing and everything. And I went out taught dancing, and I come home, and Ruby opened the door for me, and I must have been about 4 feet away from her, and she breathed on. I mean, I could smell it. So, boy, oh, boy, we really do reek of garlic, dear. But you know what? if everybody eats it, you don't smell it.
Well, they're... those oxidative compounds, the materials in garlic, react with bacteria in your body. So part of the order is relative to the bacteria, flora, intestinal tract health of the consumer of the garlic.
Yeah.
That's why it comes out in different ways in different people.
Yeah.
But if you have a great big salad with lots of chlorophyll,
yes,
and make that dressing,
yeah,
that we have the garlic on, the chlorophyll kind of negates the odor, and kind of by the time you wake up the next day, you're smelling like a fresh, clean, what, Colgate taste?
But you know, the funny thing is, everybody who eats at our house always, you know you've eaten, right?
Yes.
The garlic and the onions.
And we all cohabitate together. So
exactly.
I think that's the secret, the key to garlic.
And red wine go real nice together too, by the way.
Yeah, a family that eats garlic together stays together and is healthy together.
Now, onions, the queen, helps to reduce the risk of disease and stroke. And they also have anti-inflammatory and anti-cancer effects. They relieve congestion in the airways. Remember that movie that we saw where a guy had pneumonia and she cooked up some onions and she put them on his chest or all over his body? Remember that?
Yeah, down south. And this was kind of a pre-modern era. It wasn't that long ago, but, you know, like it, sort of low-income areas. And they used folklore remedies, and that was what they treated people with, flus and pneumonia. They soaked them in a bath of onions. And remember how gooey and mushy it all was, and she sort of put it on top of them? That was a good show.
Yeah, that was good. Mm. Onions, including shallots and red onions, are widely used in cooking and add flavor to many dishes, and they're really beneficial to our health. The onions, especially the red onions, contains flavanol quercetin. As with garlic, onions contain good levels of allicin, and allicin is thought to, as they say, help lower blood cholesterol levels and stimulate the body's immune system, blood circulation, and regulating blood pressure. So what makes you cry when you cut onions? And man, you've come out in the kitchen and you say to me, Tracy, are you upset? But it stings and it burns and my nose is running and my eyes are watering. So when you slice through an onion, you break open the number of onion cells, and some of these cells have enzymes inside of them. And when they're sliced open, the enzymes escape. And then they decompose some of other substances that have escaped from the sliced cells. Some of these substances are amino acid sulfoxides, and they form sulfenic acids, and then they quickly rearrange themselves into a volatile gas.
Hey, I thought I was supposed to be the technically speaking guy. What is this, a rearrangement?
Are you
exactly attempting to exchange roles with me, dear?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm going to be simply put, say what?
So the nerve endings in your eyes are very sensitive, so they pick up this irritation. That's why they sting when you slice onions. And the brain reacts by telling the tear ducts to produce more water to dilute the irritating acid so the eyes are protected. So that's really interesting.
That's a great explanation, dear.
Oh, you're quite
so that's
well,
why
see,
when
I
you're cutting, and the onions that you cut, there's different species of onions. I noticed that some of them are far more
hot,
mitogenic and oxidative than others, right? They're really hot.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're cutting them, sometimes a sweet onion, like Maui onions in Maui.
Oh, I was just going to say that, aren't they?
I could eat them like an apple. And they don't really burn your eyes out.
No, they don't. The red onions, boy.
So there's a difference in the onion stock,
yeah,
like the actual species of onions.
Yeah.
I wonder how many species of onions there are.
You know, I should have found that out. I didn't do my homework. I should have
found out. Well, there's probably a couple hundred.
Yeah. But onions and garlic, ladies and gentlemen, get out there and eat those onions and garlic. You know what I've noticed when I go to restaurants? Even when we order a Greek salad or other salad, they never put onion. I don't have onions. I always want more onions.
Maybe it's because people are offended by onions.
Have you noticed that?
As a general rule in Canada. Now, in other countries, you'll get loads of onions.
Yeah.
But maybe with the Commonwealth connection and the English diet, I don't think they eat a lot of raw onions.
Oh.
I can't recall in England when I was there being served a lot of raw onion dishes. Or, you know, of course, there's the ethnic influence in England, but not the, you know, the contemporary English diet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what would you say? Is there a difference from cooked garlic versus raw and cooked onions versus raw? Because a lot of people ask that, because I make a lot of the roasted garlic, and people say, is that still beneficial because it's cooked?
Yeah, well, obviously we know that heat denatures many nutrients and proteins and has an enzyme destructive effect. Not all is lost, and I think that it softens the blow. That is, heat softens the blow. Like when you cook the garlic in the oven the way that you do with the roasted garlic, it turns it into almost like mushy butter. It's very sweet. Now, the average person, if they took that same clove of raw garlic and put it in their mouth and chewed it, it would burn their tongue and their upper palate. So obviously there is a reduction, a diminishment of the activity that's in the garlic. So the true value when it comes to antiplatelet aggregation effect, like prevention of clotting or reduction of clotting risk, I think that most of that's going to come from the raw garlic and onions. So to really get that powerful medicinal effect of garlic, it's got to be raw.
Right.
At least some of it's got to be raw.
Right.
But there are a sulfur and a molybdenum and vanadium, germanium. There are other elements in garlic that are still present whether you cook them or not.
Well, ask and you shall receive. And did I get the answer?
So the answer, the bottom line is eat garlic and onions and live longer and feel better for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had nice garlic and onions last night, didn't we? We had Daryl Greenwood and Dr. Michael Colgan for dinner last night.
That's right.
And they probably reeking today. I'd like to know how they smell.
Yeah, but the courses you served were fantastic. And, of course, as per usual, everybody always gets a hit off your beautiful food quality and the presentation and how you deliver it.
Oh, aren't you?
The way the food mixes and matches, right?
No, yeah. That's the colors and the different courses and the different flavors. And I don't really go out too much on a limb when it comes to different. I really should take a course on different kinds of
herbs and spices. Don't disturb. Leave well enough alone, dear. You don't need to change.
Oh.
Just keep doing what you're doing, okay?
There you go.
Okay, that was wonderful. And moving on now, let's talk about our last month's special guest.
Last month's special guest was Dr. Elvis Alley. That was a terrific interview that Elvis gave. He's really into educating his athletes and making them understand why they need to adhere to the basic laws of nature. He said most competitive athletes today take some sort of performance-enhancing drugs. They may run faster, jump higher, or hit harder, but unfortunately their career lifespan is shortened because of the lack of proper nutrition and drugs. And after they retire, they suffer from knee, shoulder, back injuries, and they never heal. And then they end up having a multitude of surgeries to boot.
Well, you very seldom will find an athlete eating organic whole food, taking vitamin supplements, according to science, and be a steroid user. The two don't seem to go hand in hand. Usually people that take steroids,
one or the other,
they can be meticulous about the diet, but still not get the health equation.
Yeah.
They might limit their carbs, but they eat white rice. Like a lot of bodybuilders eat white rice as a staple food.
And canned tuna.
Yes.
Which is as dry as
the alkaline pH factor, the acid alkaline balance, I find is not well understood in most athletes who think they're eating well, but they don't get why their metabolic rate is dropping or they can't lose body fat or why they're not performing up to par.
Exactly.
They don't understand the pH of food.
Right.
Huge, huge
the
principle
power
in
of hydrogen.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
He's a naturopath, Dr. Elvis Alley, and he believes that most athletes are dehydrated. That's a biggie.
It's an equation of supply and demand.
Exactly. And that's what he says. He says they don't supply the demand when it comes to vitamins and especially minerals.
Well, hello. Remember Daryl was telling us about the gym where the big poster up on the wall says you get everything from your food.
Right.
You don't need supplements.
He says they don't believe in vitamins. And I said, what's to believe? It's a science.
Yes.
So
we thought of so many different concepts in our mind that denies that. I mean, but if you're open-minded, not enough for your brains to fall out, but enough to query and test different ideas and themes, put it to the test.
I think that's what happened to me. I think I am so open-minded, I'm a few bricks short of a load.
Yeah, well.
I admit it.
You ever knock your fist against an empty drum?
Yeah.
And it kind of rings inside?
Yeah, that's what happens
to me. Exactly. This morning I was giving you a hug. I sort of bumped your head. It sort of rang inside. So,
anyways, I'd like to say thank you so much to Elvis for his fantastic interview. It really was a great interview. I really did enjoy it.
Absolutely. He's committed. He's delightful, courteous, compassionate. Okay, dear, that was great. So let's get on to our next month's special guest. Who might that be?
Gee, our next month's anniversary special will be Dr. Michael Colgan. And if you don't know who Michael Colgan is by now, let me tell you, get a bleeding life, right? And you know what, Corey? We've spent a lot of time with him over the past year. And the more I get to know him, the more I respect him. He is amazing. He was sitting there every time he tells us, he brings out these celebrity names, the people he's worked with, and he's really got a great story. And I was telling him last night that he should write a biography. I think it would be awesome. Is it an autobiography?
Well, if you write it yourself, if someone writes a biography on your life, but an auto means self-written.
Yes.
So, yeah, and a biography like that biography channel, I think it would be
good to do
a presentation on his life.
Oh, my gosh. He's
who he's influenced, how long he's been around, because he mentioned that he's turning 68 this May the 10th.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I know. It's wonderful. He's just published 3 new books, Nutrition for Champions, which was a great book, Save Your Brain and Prevent Cancer Now. He always has something profound to say, and that is awe-inspiring. So we really look forward to Dr. Colgan's 6th year of SNU. That's our anniversary special guest. He's always our special guest on our anniversary.
Of course. And who better than him? So
nobody.
We look forward to that, and we'll save the spice and the icing for the cake when it comes.
Absolutely.
All right. So moving on to your hot topic?
My hot topic is spring cleaning. Well, that's the time of year again. It's springtime. Isn't it nice? And all those lovely crocuses and those lovely cherry blossoms, and my nose is loving it. But I'd like to get into the acronym of HEALTH, which is a perfect start for spring cleaning, right? And this is in your course. This is in Module 4. Is that right? The acronym for HEALTH. Do you remember what the acronym for HEALTH is, Corey?
I hope so. I wrote it.
Okay. H is for?
Hygiene.
E is?
Exercise.
A is?
Attitude.
L is?
Love.
T is?
Therapy.
And H is?
Holism.
Very good, dear. Seeing how you wrote it yourself.
We need to expound and describe each concept and principle, because there's a whole presentation on that, isn't there?
Right. Now, health is more than just freedom from disease, pain, or defect. It's a dynamic state of life and vibrancy. So that is what health is.
It's described in many, many different ways, but it certainly has to do with energy.
Yes. And having energy, absolutely.
Free of disease, well, you know, it's a continuum. Disease is working inside of us all the time.
Right.
So right now I feel okay. But the measurement of blood, urine analysis, and determining your health based on fitness assessments, et cetera, there's lots that goes into it. It's not just what we think it is.
But that's what, somebody asked me years before I even knew you, what good health meant, and I said energy, having energy. That was my answer. So...
Taraskin says it's the ability to do what you need to do and what you want to do with energy and enthusiasm.
Well, there you have it.
And if you've got that, you're well.
There you have it.
So how many people leap out of bed and greet the day each morning with an upstart positive attitude?
It's nice because the birds are tweeting. It's kind of pretty out. So hygiene, which is the science of health, and hygiene is the essence of well-being and optimum function. Without cleanliness and sanitation, all life eventually deteriorates and succumbs to sickness and disease. So hygiene, got to keep clean.
And what's the proverb about cleanliness is next to
godliness?
And God is supposed to be pure light, and light is what drives the darkness away. So, you know, the idea there is where there's purity and light, there's no dirt and grime and grub, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the idea with the godliness and cleanliness thing. So a spick and span home that's sparkling clean.
Like mine?
Right. Is like God. That's the idea.
There you have it. Thank you very much, dear.
Yeah.
So it's really important to keep your outside clean and your inside clean.
Well, the outside is clean because the inside is clean.
That's
right. If you're thinking clean, then you're acting clean. And if you're acting clean, the environment on the outside will be clean.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't damage the environment. The world will be cleaner if your mind is cleaner. It starts from the inside, not the other way around.
You and I were walking down the street, or we were driving in the car one day, and we were talking about the environment. People are so into the environment today. And I was saying, it starts with yourself. personal hygiene, because that's where you clean up the mess, is in yourself. Because people who have a lack of respect for themselves and aren't well and don't take care of themselves, they're the ones who are littering and throwing their cigarette butts and just, you know, don't care about the environment.
Well, why would you care about something on the outside if you don't care enough about your own physical body?
Right. So, I mean,
the shell that you live in, this physical body that you call your home.
Exactly.
If you don't care about that, right, why would you possibly care about the outside?
Exactly. So,
which is less important.
That's what I think. Forget the bleeding environment. The environment is your own environment. So start one person at a time, which is you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, darling.
So environmental medicine is about the interaction between mind and the environment on the outside.
Right. E is for exercise, which is physical movement organized with structure. And if you don't use it, what happens? You lose it.
Yes.
So exercise must be channeled correctly through the body and the mind. Too much can lead to injury and depletion. However, most individuals struggling with complete deficiency or insufficient amounts, not the excess. So there's more people not doing it than are doing it. And exercise gets the builds muscle, and muscle is the health engine. And the more muscle on your body, the stronger your immune system is.
Yeah. Well, it's medicine and one of the most reliable. But remember, the concept of its necessity is conceptualized in your mind. In other words, unlike breathing, it's autonomically controlled. If you pass out, your body will kick in and you'll keep breathing. But if you pass out, your body won't keep exercising. In other words, there's no impetus inside your body to make you exercise. It has to be conceptualized in your mind. So the desire to do this, the motive to do this, is conceptualization. You have to see it as being essential. If you
exactly
don't see that in your mind's eye,
yes,
you will fail when it comes to being consistent
exactly
lifelong.
Yes, exactly. It's like, that's, I couldn't say it better myself.
Now, you have a choice. You don't have to train and exercise,
no,
but then be willing to accept the inevitable
exactly
consequences.
And shut up about it, right? Shut up.
Understand
about
that the cancer, the diabetes, the obesity, and all the disease risks are going to skyrocket,
yes,
in the absence of exercise.
Absolutely.
So take your pick.
Exactly.
Make your choice.
A is for attitude. Now, that is so important, an attitude, which is the master key that determines success or failure, health or sickness. Now, a positive mental attitude is very, very important. Doesn't mean that, oh, well, you know, like,
well,
you have an airy-fairy.
Well, if you say I can't, you're right. If you say I can, you're right. Remember the worst terminology in our home raising our kids was, I can't,
yes,
I can't. Well, try it, and
yes,
if you try to do something today and you don't achieve success, then continue in your attempt and eventually you will achieve success. So just because you can't doesn't mean that you won't be able to, because I think that what happens is that people meet defeat and get in their mind, I can't, so therefore I never will be able to.
Right.
As opposed to, I wasn't able to lift the 300 pounds today, but I know that I will in the future,
exactly,
because I have a plan,
mm-hmm,
and I'm using science to facilitate movement in that direction.
I wonder, as you age, your attitude changes, because you've already been through some of the scenarios and negative things in your life, but it always comes to pass that things will get better. So as you age, you know that the crises will get better. Do you know what I'm trying
to say? Yes, sometimes, but not everyone experiences that same shift in attitude. Some people get ornery,
yes,
miserable,
yeah,
angry,
right,
less tolerant. They're angry, and they never change. They get worse.
Now
they sour up.
What about this young man that you are, John Campbell, that you are training right now? He's 17 years old. He has cerebral palsy. He's as sharp as a bleeding whip, isn't he?
Now, there's an example of someone with an incredibly good attitude. Even with the physical limitation of paralysis, he shows up on time. He works out 5 days a week. He takes his vitamins. He eats his organic whole foods. It's his attitude,
yes,
that makes all the difference in the world.
It's wonderful to be around him.
And
he's
then you get some
nice
sniveling, snotty-nosed, spoilt brat kid who has all the opportunities and options for success and says, I'm bored.
I know.
And they complain about having nothing when they have the world in front of them.
And there's this boy doing squats, deadlifts, chins, bar dips with a 25-pound weight, you know, and there's other people in the gym who are physically capable of doing it and aren't doing it.
You know what,
it's
also,
unbelievable.
The attitude is in the ability to learn. Like, he's a good student.
Yes.
He's not arrogant.
No.
So he also is obedient. And that means he respects me and believes that I can help him further his own cause, which is the making of a great master.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now we have L is for love. All you need is love.
Well, I thought that was essential because without self-respect and self-worth, you have no self-direction, no sense of achievement, no ambition, no purpose. And so it starts with self-love, not some mishy-moshy kind of a macho-resistant concept. But love, as it's spelled out, is the thing that fixes the whole planet and all people in all conditions, in all situations.
Well, what you've got here in the course, in your CSNA course, which you've written, that what they say on an airplane, remember what they say on an airplane? It says, in the event of changes in cabin pressure, an air mask will drop down automatically. Place the oxygen mask around your head and face first before assisting others. So how can you help anybody if you can't help yourself?
Well, you can. It's easier to help other people than help yourself. But the reason that you help yourself first, in this situation especially, it's all about logic and science and survival. If you pass out, that means your children will pass out.
Exactly.
So you have to assist yourself. This is the first lesson I learned in industrial first aid, priority action approach. You make sure that the environment that killed somebody, like that wire that electrocuted the guy, isn't going to electrocute you.
Exactly.
Because if you go help him, you get electrocuted, you're useless. You become a liability as well.
Yeah.
So the science of survival is that you look after self, number one, numero uno, first, so that you can then serve other people, your family, your children, your life.
And you've got written here that love must be freely given without expectation or it's not genuine.
No strings attached, baby. Otherwise, it ain't love.
Well, get a grip, will you, dear?
Hello. Hello.
There's always strings attached.
Well, also,
with you.
Also, when if you
for
say,
me,
I love
is.
You, and someone else says, I love you, make sure that you understand what their concept of love is.
Yeah.
Because everyone's got a different concept of what that means.
That's right. So vitamin L is the number one. I say that was that's other than vitamin C, calcium ascorbate, but vitamin
there's L. There's also light for vitamin L and love, which the two go hand in hand because, again, getting back to light being like God and God is love and, you know, so on and so forth, yada, yada, yada.
T is for therapy, which is the application of the healing arts to assist the body in the restoration of any physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual infirmity. So it's really, really important that some of the three primary rules in natural medicine that you wrote down here, it says number one, do not harm the patient. Number two, treat the patient, not the disease. Very interesting. Number three is identify and remove the underlying causes of illness rather than just eliminate or suppress the symptoms. So find out why you've got that headache. Don't just take a bunch
of
painkillers.
In other words, do the opposite of what conventional medicine does.
Right, right.
They treat the disease, not the patient. They treat the symptoms. They're not interested in the cause. They don't want to spend time finding out what the cause is. They're not even interested in it. There's no money in that. The big money is using a prescribed drug to treat the symptom and to keep you sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, believe it or not, there's a lot of people in the medical profession that participate in that paradigm, and they know exactly what it is that they're doing. Don't kid yourself.
That's right. Don't kid yourself. H, holism, which is the concept of the whole being greater than the sum of all the individual parts. So,
and think of the cells of the body, each individual cell. Okay, now I just watched 300, fantastic, as it defines what life as a Spartan was. I mean, these guys were tough. But in relation to what you just said, individually, they were strong and incredibly well-developed and lithe and fast and powerful.
Uh-huh.
But they worked collectively as a single unit, the same way that the cells in the body do. So when the whole organism, as the sum of all those parts, is in unison and in harmony, man, I'll tell you, they're unstoppable.
Right. So each one of us is the multidimensional being, and no two people are completely alike. Hallelujah for that. Even identical twins differ in makeup and emotions. Isn't that amazing, Guy? Because I know a couple of sets of twins, and they are both so, they look exactly alike, and it took me a long time before I really got to know who was who. But then after I really got to know them, they are two different people, but they look alike. It's weird.
That's right. So that's why I'm fascinated by the concept of cloning.
Cloning, yeah.
Because if I cloned myself, and that little spermatozoa, with if I implanted that in your womb and you gave birth to me at the age of, say, me being 49, and this little baby comes out, but it's actually me. It's a clone of me. It's identical. Does it have the same soul
right.
as me? Now, obviously, the effects of nurture, like the environment, the information that that person absorbed might be different, but would it be the same as me in every other regard? That is something that only time will tell.
That's right. And there you go.
One I day, don't think one so. Day. I think that clone would be an individual with its own individual soul.
Yeah, I think
soul.
So. I think so too. I think so too.
But you never know.
Two of you on the earth? Holy shmolies, man.
Well, I wish I had two of you because I could take one of you on a trip, you know, and utilize your services when required.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Enough. Okay, dear. That
Why
was,
does it always come back to sex?
Because that's what it's all about.
I guess so.
Right?
For you.
Propagation of the species, baby. If we don't do that, we're coming to an end.
I don't think I'm going to.
We're coming to an end anyway. This show is over. Okay.
I don't think I'm giving you any more garlic. You're over. No more garlic for you. No more garlic for you.
Okay. That was great, dear. Really enjoyed the time spent together. Mm-hmm. What is your final word?
My final word is housework is something you do that nobody notices until you don't do it. It's like health. You don't miss it until it's gone.